Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Today on Think Smart with TMFG, we're going to be discussing some solutions to one of the evils of investing that we discussed last time, Mike. We talked about debt and how debt often, too much debt, stops you from investing. So let's review some great strategies that people should put in place to eliminate that debt so that they can really start doing some good investing. So what's the first strategy that you have in mind?
Number one strategy for reducing debt is have a budget. Know how much you're spending. You can make adjustments if you're spending too much. I don't like to be tremendously anal on this and try to keep everything so it's, you know, every day what you spent at the end of that day. But on a monthly basis, you should know if you're spending a lot more than you're taking in. Get a net worth statement where you can see how much equity you have and how much debt you have. What this does, it stops people from doing what I call false savings. And false savings is when people just move money from debt side over to the equity side of things. So they'll make an investment, but they'll borrow the money from their line of credit to make that investment. And while they think they're doing well because investments keep on going up, their total net worth doesn't really change. It's just moving things from one side of the balance sheet to the other side of the balance sheet. So at the end of the day, you just have to make sure you know how much debt you owe and keep track of it.
So develop a budget is number one. And I'm going to go with number two. And this is something that I've done, you know, ever since I graduated. And that's use one credit card. I happen to use American Express. It's good and bad. It's got a high annual fee, but it has forced me to, I have to pay it off every month. So I got to have the money available to pay off every month. It actually doesn't get accepted everywhere, which sometimes is a good thing because I can't use it everywhere. So some people think that's a bad thing. In my case, it's been a good thing. I've actually found, you know, yes, the annual fee is high, but you get all these points and I collect enough dollars that it covers more than the annual fee. So I actually get the credit. They pay me to keep the credit card. It's a pretty good deal. Third strategy, Mike, is related to your mortgage. What are some ideas that you have on eliminating mortgage debt?
Number one is when you go to take a mortgage, don't only shop on interest payments. You know, everyone just looks at the interest rates. But beyond the interest rates, there's secondary things to look at. How much can be paid off? So you want to look at ones where you can increase payments along the way. Some mortgages give you an ability to pay an extra 10 or 15% a year. If you can do that, and many times it's on the anniversary, do it. One of the best investments you can do. RSPs, we always say, are number one. Right after you've gone RSPs, mortgage is a pretty close second. RSPs, RESPs, then your mortgage. Increase your payments by small amounts. If you just add, like, if you're doing, let's say, we'll talk about, first of all, change your payments to a weekly rather than a monthly. If you can do that, that helps. And if you can add an extra $10 or $20 to that payment on a weekly basis, that massively shortens your amortization schedule. So these are things you can do that don't really take away from your lifestyle that much, but make a big difference in the long run. And if you have the opportunity to double up payments, take advantage of it.
You know, it's funny, you know, I do online banking, I use my phone, and it's pretty easy to go on. I use Scotiabank, and it's pretty easy to go on, or it used to be, to, if I wanted to increase my payment, I could just do it online. And even if it was by $10 a month, that's a big change. You don't notice $10, but over time, that's going to have an impact on paying down that debt faster. Fourth strategy would be to look beyond your bank. You know, the big five banks, they do have a monopoly in this country. They pay less interest. They charge more interest. They make it more difficult to get a loan. I'm not going to name any of them that do a bad. They're all in the same boat. But look beyond your bank. You know, shop for lower rates. Maybe, you know, even get a mortgage broker. Get someone to search the market and see what's out there. Do a little bit of research. And maybe you can find even an extra quarter point or a half point. Credit unions. I had used my credit union in the past and didn't know. My mother-in-law suggested I give it a try. Sure enough, I saved half a point. My bank was really disappointed. I tried to get them to match. They wouldn't match. I said, sorry, but half a point is half a point. It's worth it to me.
One of the dirty secrets of the banking industry is what they do is, generally speaking, when you go and look at the posted rates on things, number one is mortgages, number two is GICs. They don't seem very attractive when they're posted in the paper. Now, the reason why, when you go into your actual branch, you'll generally get a better deal than posted, and everyone thinks that's a great thing. But the reason why they post it there is for renewals. When people renew and don't negotiate, they get the posted rate.
Right.
And many people don't go through the effort of bargaining down the rate when it's time for renewal. For both mortgages and even people that get GICs, you look at the GIC rates that are posted, they're terrible. And they'll renew it. Right now, 1 year will be like 0.5% of posted rates. You say, well, why would anyone ever go there? It's not matter of someone going for that rate. It's when they flip over to renew, they automatically get that rate.
You know, credit cards, debit cards, talk about, you know, why is one better than the other? And talk about what's the biggest difference?
Well, biggest difference is debit is coming directly from your bank account, and it's taken as it's spent. And a credit card is going to be paid at the end of the month. Remember, for the retailer, the other thing too is the retailer is taking a much bigger hit on the credit card purchases. So credit cards are charging the retailer between, you know, 2 and 4% for the ability to let someone buy using their credit card. And you don't realize it, but that's something that's been built into today's prices. There's been an inflation. Now basically 2% of everything you buy goes to the credit card companies because they now own that 2% that used to be belong to the retailers. And trust me, the retailers aren't going to take a bath on this. They're just going to pass those costs on to the consumer. So if you use a debit card, you avoid that. You were even saying that you can hook your debit cards onto a lot of
your Amazon account. So let me tell you, my eldest daughter, she remained nameless. So she goes out to Vancouver, and before I know it, she's hooked her credit card with a $1,000 limit onto our Amazon account. So she can order stuff, she can charge it to Amazon, and before you know it, she's used up her $1,000 limit and she doesn't have enough money in her bank account to say it or to pay it. My other daughter, who just started in September, I get this notification from Amazon that the charge didn't go through, and I'm thinking, oh no, the same things happen, right? And I blame myself for not teaching them. What I discovered was that our youngest, Lily, had actually hooked her debit card to the Amazon account. So she went to buy something. She didn't have any money, so she couldn't buy it. So it actually, you know, and I was going to tell her to hook your debit card or credit card, and I've decided, no, I'm just going to leave it as her debit card. That way she doesn't build up any debt. A couple of other things, and I go back, and I mentioned this earlier, and I started investing even when I had debt. And that goes back to paying yourself first. And that's the strategy we talk about saving. But it's a fundamental thing. You need to put yourself and your family at the top of the list. Not American Express, not Visa, not the Bank of Montreal. Put your family at the top of the list and make sure you get paid. Do your savings every month. You start even small, $100 a month, whatever it is, and then just keep building that up. That is the sixth best strategy. Eventually, you'll start having some assets and that debt won't seem nearly as daunting. What else?
Store credit cards. I think they've become more of a thing of the past, but they don't want that to happen because they're such a moneymaker for the stores. If you went through my wallet 20 or 30 years ago, I would have had a Bay card, a Canadian Tire card, Petro-Can card, maybe even an Eaton card back in that time. But at that time, there were all the store cards. You know, they'll give you some incentives in the store, but they're not great. They have higher interest rates generally than the regular credit cards. And, you know, I even went through an experience with my mom's Canadian Tire card. I was trying to clear up. I got a letter in the mail from, been 5 or 6 years ago since my mom passed away, but all her points were on the card. So I called up to get the points. They can't transfer all the points. There was about 250 Canadian Tire dollars that she built over a lifetime. And I said, well, can you just pass them on to me? And they go, no. I said, can you pass them on to the estate? They said, no.
No, so, they're so gone.
They're gone.
They're disappeared. So I think the eighth strategy that I'm going to come up with is don't worry if you make mistakes on this. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to, you know, you're going to miss a payment the odd time. Sometimes you miss it on purpose. Sometimes you just, you know, put the wrong date in, especially if you do late night banking after a glass of wine or two. The key about making mistakes is learn from it. You know, often there's a penalty associated with the mistake, be it an interest charge the next month, and just commit to yourself not to make that same mistake again. think the other one, that number nine that I would put is in terms of a strategy, is don't ever borrow money from friends or family. This is a definite no-no. And here's why. In many cases, you never get that money back. Sometimes you do, but it's over a long period of time. It will cause stress in that relationship, be it your sibling, be it, you know, your best friend who has all the money in the world. It doesn't matter how much money they have. You know, I have friends where they owe other friends lots of money and it hasn't been repaid, and that relationship is basically over, unfortunately. Sometimes you'll look at that person differently for the rest of your life. So avoid borrowing money from friends or family. You're better to do it to a faceless institution. It's much easier to owe money to a faceless institution than to your best friend or to your sister.
And collect.
And collect. What about car loans?
Car loans, always look at a car and find out how much you can get on a cash deal. Because there's usually a difference between what you're going to get on cash and what you're going to get on the dealer-provided loans. And calculate it. See what's the better option. Are you better getting the $1,000 or are you better getting the, you know, 1.9% finance and whatever they're offered, and see what makes sense for yourself. Again, if you do have a car loan and you use your car for business, you can generally deduct some of the interest you pay. Not a ton, but remember to take advantage of every tax advantage you can find from that. Another thing to watch out is watch out when you go to dealerships and how they talk more about the financing cost of your car than the actual price of a car. They tend to get you into more expensive cars than you wanted, because they usually talk about the monthly cost of a car rather than how much you're actually paying for the car. You know, an extra $20 or $30 a month doesn't seem like that much, but when you start to stretch it over, you know, 3 to 5 years, you can be paying an extra $10,000 for that car.
Absolutely. I think that's a pretty good summary of strategies to deal with debt. I want to touch base on our next podcast. We're going to review what we believe is the fourth evil of investing. And I'm excited about this one. This is mistaking volatility for risk and not understanding the difference between the two. That brings us to the end of another week. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, reminding you to live the life that makes you happy.
To the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.